Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, White Sox fans! You miss us? It seems like it's been a while. Or maybe it's too soon. Because you'd be right to ask, as you're listening or watching, or listening and watching. If you're watching, you're probably listening. Why are they doing a podcast? The White Sox are 61-98. Why would you do a podcast? It doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, believe me, even as the host, I don't know why I'm doing it. It just seems like the right thing to do. We actually thought that we would be getting an off day on Thursday. And by that time, the White Sox would already have probably crossed 100 losses or maybe be right on the precipice of it. Neither of which is true at the moment. And we didn't even have that off day on Thursday. So what we thought would set up for Sox Populi podcast 160, Sox Pop, if you don't speak Latin, is already dashed. But, don't fear. The team's still lousy. 100 losses is definitely in reach. So there'll be that to talk about it. If you're a masochist, like my partners on this podcast, Ryan and Melissa Sage Bohlenbach, well, then you're in the right place because we're going to talk about this potential 100 loss team for, well, I don't know, as long as we can muster before we all expire. Quick stats before we get to whatever we're going to talk about. I believe me, I'm hosting. I can't really figure out what it's going to be. I will note in the Race to the Bottom series, I tried to pick the last three series and the White Sox have crossed me up. They won the Boston series. I didn't think that would happen. They won one game against Arizona. I didn't think that would happen, but of course it's a little less urgent for Arizona with that other Chicago team sort of deciding to tank. So they're like backing into the second wild card. So maybe it wasn't so urgent for them today. I had them predicted at 61-101. They would have to be swept by San Diego. Not impossible, but I didn't think that was going to happen. I actually thought the White Sox would win the final series of the season, fill somebody up, not I think the three of us, with false optimism, all that fake crap that they like to peddle all the time. You know, Chris Getz is going to hit the ground running, but now he's got to take a whole lot of time to investigate completely bereft and devoid organization. I don't know. We'll be talking about that. Anyway, 61-98. Based on the run differential, they're going to be a 62-100 team based on their 384 winning percentage. Yes, you would think a winning percentage can't get that low. We've been saying it all year, but yes, that is the White Sox winning percentage. They can't even get back to 400. When they got to 400, we're like, holy cow, there's almost a normal team now. And yeah, like three games later, they were back below that. But based on that winning percentage, they should lose two of these last three. They should be a 62 and 100 team. So if it all goes according to the plan of 159 games to date, this team is going to cross 100. They are locked in as the fourth worst team in baseball. They can't actually become the third because Colorado is just so darn bad. And they obviously can't, I don't know who they're chasing. They're not chasing anybody. Obviously, it's been a long time since they've been chasing, well, chasing themselves, chasing their tails, chasing mediocrity, chasing a completely amorality, but not actual real baseball team to actually become only the fifth, and however that will hurt their draft chances. Okay, so all the possibilities are they could be a 61 and 101 team. That would make them the lock them in as the fifth worst team in White Sox history. They go 62 and 100. They're tied. They're just tied for the fifth worst in White Sox history. And that will be with Ricky Renteria's 2018 team. Remember back when we were on the rise toward the so-called, well, it wasn't then. It was actually the window of contention. It wasn't so-called. That window broke like three games into whatever, 2022. So yes, a tie with Ricky Renteria's team is very much within reach. They win the series against the Padres, which I predicted. They do have their two best pitchers going, I think, in this series upcoming, unless they're going to like save Dylan Cease for that next window of contention when he's 38. They'd be 63-99. That would make them tied for eighth worst all-time in White Sox history with the, you guessed it, it's this century, 2013 White Sox team. Oh my God, this last decade has been a joyous one. And if the White Sox sweep the Padres, because the Padres just don't care, they want AJ Preller fired, which, you know, I'm all on board for. 64-98, still not a 400 winning percentage, but they would fall out of the top 10 worst White Sox teams ever. They would be the 11th worst team in White Sox history. So with all those exciting numbers, hey, Ryan, welcome to the podcast. Melissa Sage Bolobach, welcome to the podcast. Ryan Adams had themselves an incredible 99 Left Balloons like a Bird app that the White Sox blew by winning the game and actually playing sort of a decent game. Melissa today was on the six pack, probably mistyped a ton, had to delete a ton because it's like loss, and they didn't lose. So then you got to just go back and delete everything, any pre-writing, and even frankly, probably any post-game writing. You're probably still writing as if it's a loss, and then you got to say to yourself, hey, wait a minute. I think Crystal did a story just in the last week or two where she just assumed the score was a loss for the White Sox. And I actually had to correct. I was like, wait, no, hold on. This is a game they won. Uh-oh, key editing. I played a role in the last 2 weeks for Southside Sox, keeping everything right on board, rolling really well. To both of you, welcome. Not sure why you're here. Not sure why I'm here. But okay, how about this? Let's kick off. Why are you here?
I got nothing better to do.
And I think you've just written the pocket schedule title for next year, Ryan, and that is?
We got nothing better to do.
We got nothing better.
No, I'm here because, like, I took the Bird app because it would have been my normal Thursday. And, like, I watched the White Sox, like, two games in a row for the first time in weeks, and I don't know what to do with myself. Literally, I tuned it. I'm like, oh, Jason Benintendi. I remember that. I remember listening to that fantastic broadcast. Yeah. And, of course, today I was treated to Led Casper. So I switched to the radio. But why am I here? I don't even know.
Ryan, I will warn you, one more game in a row you watch, that will trigger an intervention. So be ready. I mean, I may pop up. I don't know. Melissa may pop me. She may drive me. I don't know. Somebody going to pop up. Intervention time.
I'm done. This was it. This was it. I'm done for.
All right. I'll let you know.
What's left for me this year?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame you. Okay. All right. Acquit yourself, Melissa, while you're here.
Well, I'm here because I'm actually going to miss baseball. Like, I know it's been bad baseball, but always at the end of the season, you're like, oh, man, like, I got to wait until, you know, late March, early April for this to all start over again. Like, yeah, it's probably good because we all need a mental break. But there is a little piece of me that is like a little bit sad. So I want to try to enjoy what I can. And it's the people you meet along the way. So how could I pass up hanging out with some of my peeps talking about the team when we're at the very end? So it's like, yay, we're at the end. And oh, we're at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of just hit me that like Sunday is the last game of the season. Yeah. I mean, September for me is completely flown by, so I don't even know what day it is. But I'm like, we have three games left, and that makes my heart hurt. At least we have some playoffs, not our team. Well, at least we have some playoff to look forward to.
It will be covered with Game Threads on Southside Sox. So stick around. It's sure to get as much activity as we've been getting this last dead second half of the season. Not that I blame any of you, dear listeners, viewers, readers, passerby. Melissa, making a pitch to be on the, as always, on the very next podcast. Melissa, you don't need to say you're going to miss us. You can come to any podcast you want. No doubt about it. Now, Ryan, their record this year was, you were always, come to think of it, wait, you two were sort of toward the start of the season, you were really the hard luck duo. And I think Ryan was probably like usually second to last. Melissa was in last for a while. Melissa lately, I mean, I won't say you've got like a winning streak, but the fortunes have turned. I think you are safe from the seller of coverage this year. Ryan, of course, definitely
I'm done for.
and the truth is, picked up a win, a very unexpected win today. So, it's another reason to.
I might be like 4-10 or something. I can't even keep track. I know it was like 0-9 at one point.
Yeah.
Like, coming on board and like covering this team and going 0-9 on coverage days. That was bloody fantastic. Thanks for inviting me again, Brett.
Yeah, I was just going to say, not to always go back to this theme, but it's sort of, obviously, because this has seemed like five seasons, Ryan, no offense. I do forget this is really a first experience. Oh, you poor soul.
I feel like a grizzled veteran at this point.
Yeah.
For all the writing I've done and all the times I've watched this wretched team, trying to find interesting things to say in a Bird app when, like, today I'm, like, scraping the bottom of the barrel to find interesting tweets for an afternoon game that, like, they claim they sold out and it was a ghost town on TV. Like, I could have been a whole Bird app on tweets about how empty the Dollar Day was. Like,
Service time-wise, Ryan, just so you know, service time, based on this being the season, especially as a freshman season for you, that 5 years service time accumulated. So we're counting it. Believe me, we're counting it plus, because this is suffering that no one should have to do. Sorry, Melissa, yeah, you got in at the end of last season. So,
I did. I thought you didn't get the multiplier. Bad.
Yeah.
I was like, really? I'm like, I'm writing about this team and they're just 500.
Only 500. They were just 500 last year.
Yes, clamoring.
40 games under now.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Yeah. Let's do a spontaneous speed round. Speaking of 500, what year will the White Sox next be 500? Melissa, tell me first.
Oh, gosh.
We're not going to hold you to it, but yeah. What does your gut say?
My gut's saying, thinking about all those guys that we've got in Double A, it's going to at least be 2026.
Okay. Ryan?
We're talking about like at 500, not like a good team. Just merely.
Yeah, just at least 500, not a losing team. At least 500.
Oh, I got to go like 2027. I'll Price is Right it and do it like one after Melissa here, because I don't see like Getz. I'll give it credit for trying and making some interesting hires, but the farm system's barren, and these guys, the guys in Triple A, like the guys in Double A, who knows what they end up being? Like this org just can't develop talent for shit. And so, what's to say it's going to change this time around? Four years feels generous at this point.
I would say we've jaded you, but no, you're just being a smart fan there. My gut when I'm asking this spontaneous question was to say 2026, and not just to Price is Right it, but actually, when you just mentioned the word Getz, Ryan, I had to revise. I'm going to top you. Getting to go last, I'm going to top you. I'm going to say 2028 because it's definitely not around the corner. Definitely not next year. 2020. I mean, you could see a case for something like even as soon as 2028. That's too harsh. Maybe I'll go with you, Ryan, at 2027 because that is a lot. That's 5 years.
Yeah, but when we're just talking 500, like,
yeah, right. And I mean, this is still the division. Minnesota's not running away. You know, they're a crappy team and they won a division. So,
right.
I'm going to like maintain like a shred of optimism and think that with some of this new direction and leadership and some of the trades that we made, I gotta hold on to something. I just have to hold on to something.
For a cup half empty person, that's interesting because you know I have to be the one to remind Melissa it could go the other way too. The new leadership could make us worse, and I would argue, you know, if you have to, you're not flipping a coin. If you had to bet,
probability seems high. Like JR is still in charge, and he went internal on his hire. Like probability seems really high that. They're actually, I don't know if they're going to be worse next year, but there's a good chance they're worse next year.
Okay. Right? All right. Now let's, you know, I guess we're going to just do speed rounds to the break because now I have to seize on this, especially what I just heard from Ryan, which shocks me, but it is the question's going to be as we melt, as I'm going to try to speak, as we welcome in Malachi Hayes as well to make this a quartet of suffering. The speed round question to get you up to speed, Malachi, that we were just beginning now, and I'm going to start. I'm going to go right back to Ryan, and that is, it's a simple question. Are they going to be worse next year? And I cannot believe that you just even hedged on that, Ryan. So I'm going to give you a chance to tell me whether or not you think the White Sox are going to be worse next year.
Yes, unequivocally, it'll be worse.
Yeah. Okay. In fact, let's even modify this to really challenge all of you. I don't even have what the White Sox have had terrible, terrible teams. 48 team, three teams in the early 30s are all beyond horrible. I mean, well worse. This year's team lost a chance to, the magic number to catch any of those teams was gone quite a while ago. They were so bad. To do it in a simple way, the most losses the White Sox ever had, 105 in 1970. Do they cross, assuming they're going to be worse next year? And I think, Melissa, don't even try to hit me with the positivity that tells us all in a public forum that they're going to be better next year. I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to make you change your answer. But the question will be, will they match or cross or fall short of 105 losses? Ryan, I'm going to go right back to you. What are they going to do? We're going to talk about this all off season. This is real premature, but as you just brought it up, let's speed round this. So 105 losses.
105 is their worst ever.
Yes. Or most losses, not worst team, but most losses with 100.
Right. Right. In the modern 162.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, you know what? I don't even feel like it's going out on a limb. They're going to tie that next year.
Okay. Tie that.
My prediction. They will. They won't eclipse it, but they will tie it.
All right. We got no Jackie Krestel here on this podcast. So good vibes. Melissa Sage Bohlenbach is stepping up to the plate to tell us that they're only going to lose 90 games next year. How many are they going to lose next year, Melissa?
Yeah, no, I wasn't alive in 1970. And so I'm going to say that I'm not going to have like the most losses ever for this franchise in my lifetime. Okay. Not going to happen.
Okay.
I refuse to believe.
Okay.
So yeah, no, I don't think so. I think they can be equally as bad, but I don't really see them being much worse because like they're bringing back mostly the same people.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Like it's kind of going to be a replay of this.
You just really scared me, Melissa, because yes, that is a real problem. Okay, good vibes, Melissa Sage Bohlenbach, bringing it home with somewhere between 82 and 98. I don't know. I guess they're going to sweep this last season too. Okay, Malachi, not to make you hit the ground running here, but give me your early call on loss total next year.
I'll put it in like the 95-ish range.
Whoa!
The thing for me is that like it's hard
it's pretty hard to lose 100 games in this season if you're not trying to, you know. The Sox have been around for 120 years, and they've done it. Like, and this is like the fifth time.
We're trying to lose 100 this year, and here we are.
But the point being, the only teams you look back at it historically, at least recently, you know, the only teams to really be that bad back to back years, lose 100 multiple, are teams that were either explicitly tanking, you know, the Orioles, the Astros, or the Kansas City Royals, which are probably the one organization that might be constituted measurably worse than the White Sox. And the fact is, you know, they're not going to tank. They're not going to try to lose. Not everyone. I think so many things went wrong this year. They're not going to be very good. I think it would just be really hard for them to be this bad next year.
Okay.
You know, they have enough. Put it this way, I suspect that by the second half of next year, the roster is at least going to be in slightly better shape. Not good shape. I think we can do. I think just based on the contract situation, I think we're probably going to have a better second half rotation than Jesse Schulten's, Touki Toussaint, and Luis Patino. I mean, it's such a low bar right now that I think they would have to actually try to be as bad again next year.
Melissa, I got really bad news for you. I hope you didn't get any business cards. I hope you did not reprint your business cards for Southside Sox, because you have already been displaced. It is Malachi Good Vibes. Hayes bringing it for just 95 losses next year. All right, I'll make this quick before the break.
Only 95, yeah. Just 95.
I'll make this quick before the break. They are absolutely going to lose more than 105 games. I'll say 100 because all of you, well, Ryan accepted, I suppose. Way to go, Ryan. I've been so positive. Okay, I'll concede. I'll say 106. Yes, they are absolutely going to lose the most games in White Sox history. And total respect to what you're saying, Malachi, but they weren't trying this year, and they could lose 101. So, you know, I don't know what's going to change, but you're right. By the second half next year, I mean, if things at all are going to plan, whatever this window is, or rebuild, or whatever mode we're in now, you know, if you're getting some of that talent up, beginning to get their feet wet, and they actually sort of hit the ground running instead of the way most of our ballyhooed prospects do these days, or recent vintage, then yeah, their second half will be something maybe actually to hang a hat on. We're having a different podcast a year from now, as if any of us are somehow going to live as Sox fans for another year to suffer through Sox Pop 198 or whatever it'll be by then. But I'm going to stick to my guns, even though I'm conceding Malachi's point and to some degree sort of good vibes, Sage Mullenbox. No, I'm going to still go. I'm with Ryan on this one. 106 next year. Strap in. It's going to be so ugly next year. But we have all offseason to talk about it. And boy, I can't wait to have every one of our podcasts somehow dominated by how awful the White Sox, or how they'll only be slightly awful. They'll be slightly less awful in Malachi's eyes next year. Well, let's take a break. I need some air. Maybe I'll be back. Otherwise, these three will bring home a podcast about, I don't know, 100 losses or something. Hang with us. Listen to whatever Fans First Sports Network has to sell you. I'm sure it's good stuff. Hang with us.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
White Sox fans, Sox Pop 160, Mothership's been away for a while, I think. I don't know. I can't keep track anymore. I mean, I'm ground down. We're all ground down. I'm here with three regular coverage folks on Southside Sox, so you know they are beaten, battered, and bruised. And it's not even the visible, like, scarring. It's like getting hit with the bag of oranges scar. It's all the internal bleeding. It's the bruising you might not see. These people, and they're smiling now. They're lovely, lovely people. I love them to all three, but they're hurting. They are suffering. And we are crawling through now this last weekend of the season. The mighty San Diego Padres just teetering around 500. massive disappointment, San Diego Padres. Get in line, hold our beer for massive disappointments, Padres. But, you know, it really comes down to White Sox win the series this last weekend. They avoid 100 losses. They lose the series and or get swept, of course. They're going to be one of the they're almost locked in as the fifth worst team in White Sox history, but a sweep could get them out of the top 10 worst White Sox teams in history. Something to fight for. And actually two of the teams, well, I guess the only two decent pitchers left on the White Sox. I don't know if that's unfair. Malachi will correct me, but I think are due to pitch in the Padres series. So, I mean, that has to give the Sox a shot at least of avoiding a sweep, but we'll see. How do we think this last weekend's going to go? Or do we want to talk about it because we all hate the White Sox?
Lose 2 or 3, even 100.
All right. Nice and neat. Okay. Even though it's very hard to do without trying, they're going to still get there.
Yeah. I mean, look, I can't speak to the state of the San Diego clubhouse or anything, but I can imagine how, from a competitive standpoint, it might mean something to them, at least a little bit in the grand scheme of things, to not be below 500. Yeah. Lord knows the Sox ain't playing for shit. So, I mean, it's hard to see them winning more than one.
It just doesn't look good on the chalkboard in the clubhouse, Malachi, when it's like, okay, what's the t-shirt they're printing up about like avoiding 100? It just doesn't have that same sexy ring to it. So,
Especially because, hey, you know, there's been a lot of whispers about Bob Melvin and AJ Preller and their job security and everything. So, I mean, they're just a better team too. So yes. 2 or 3 is the easy, safe answer right there.
Yes. It's worth saying again, Malachi, I don't think you were around, but what a shame it would be if AJ Preller lost his job. God, it would break my heart. Gosh, I don't know if I'd still be able to be a baseball fan. Ryan, Melissa, what are we thinking about in this? I mean, not necessarily a prediction per se. Malachi's thrown down for 100. In my thing of the last three series, I mean, it's all like dash now because White Sox are actually playing better than I predicted. I thought they'd end up at 101. I wouldn't say that now. I guess I'll still stick with that I think they will win this. Even though I think Blake Snell is maybe still lined up for the last game. I don't know if they're going to make him do that or not, but he's a free agent. So why wouldn't they just burn him? You know, right. Is he coming back? I don't even know what the situation is there, but I'll still say the White Sox win this. I will say they will somehow avoid 100 losses. Go figure. So sorry, Malachi. I hope you didn't print up your business cards because it's Brett. Good vibes. Ballantini here with you on the Sox Pop number 160 podcast. I'm going to throw it now to Ryan and or Melissa to tell us what they think is going to happen here in this thrilling, compelling last series of the season against San Diego.
Well, I've been so tuned out that I thought this was a road series coming up. I thought the Sox were going to San Diego to close out. And then I was like, I was really surprised yesterday when I was watching the game and they're like, they had Appreciation Day on Sunday. And I'm like, what?
It would make sense. I would hold a Fan Appreciation Day in San Diego. It actually would make some sense. So knowing now, Ryan, that the big home field advantage is actually intact for the White Sox, yeah. Can I change your prediction?
I expected a loss today, so I can't go – like, I can't confidently say that they're going to get swept because you never know. San Diego might just, you know, shit themselves and lose a game or just, like, not care on the last day. But, like, when your matchups are C's redacted in Urena – Arena, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Like, that's how bad it is. I don't see them winning two. So I'm going to go, like, you know, same boat, 100 losses on the dot. I was hoping for more, but you know, 62 and 100.
Yeah.
Bravo. Bravo, okay. JR. Bravo.
Yes, they crawled their way to be as good as the Ricky Renteria 2018 crew. Which we were on death watch all year. That was like early on. It was like, oh my God, this could be the worst ever. And they actually almost lost their, I want to say close to their last 10 games of the season. It was just some weird Daniel Palka walk-off that kept them from losing like 9 in a row to end the season. So go figure. They really wanted it. They really wanted those 100. If this year's White Sox has that kind of want to, oh my God, it's going to be 101 loss season. No doubt about it. Melissa, You were good vibes, then it got sort of stolen from you. Then I took it, so I don't know. You feel free to grab that half empty glass if you want, but you're going to sing song our way through a San Diego series. It sees a win, series win, like apparently I'm seeing.
I think it's with this stupid ass team, it's always expect the unexpected, right? Yeah. So, and we've been like, yeah, they're going to get 100 losses. Of course, they're not going to. They're just not going to. So they're going to end up with 99 losses. And so that we can all be like, damn it, they didn't get to 100 losses. So yeah, it's just that's a White Sox thing to happen. It just is. Like today, like Ryan was saying, like, oh, I got this 99 thing all planned out and they're totally going to lose and get swept because Arizona is so much better. No. And then they actually go out and they play good defense. Like Andrew Vaughn's diving all over the place. Mm. Andrew Benintendi's jumping. And I'm just like, who are these people? Why did they not play like all year? Mm-hmm. So no, they're not going to make 100 because that would just make too much sense.
Yeah. They're rallying for Pedro. They feel the guy. They're rallying for him. They know they want it guaranteed, even though it's already been guaranteed. They want it really double guaranteed, double plus guaranteed that he's here all year next year. So they're going to rally for the guy.
So, Brett, you say that, but I think the reason why they're going to lose 105 next year is because if we thought like Pedro didn't get to buy in this year, next year's going to be worse because they're going to tune his ass out. Mm-hmm. Like if half his core is still here, that just like coasted through this season. Jets has more stones and starts cutting guys that are like towards the end of their deal, but
right,
yeah, very bold of you to assume that they haven't tuned him out completely already.
right. Fair
yes, for the record. For the record, I was being facetious because, yeah, first of all, I could care less, and second of all, yes, if I had to bet again, bringing up betting a lot again, and maybe, who knows, maybe that was the ad you just heard from Fans for Certainwood. It's out there. It's out there in the world. It's on our Southside Sox site. Constantly, and believe me, I hate it. And now Rob Manfred talks about having a special broadcast just for gambling. I hate all of it, but in a casual sense, yes, if I was a betting person, I would say they have turned this guy out and they could care less. I don't think he ever had the clubhouse, to be honest. But you know, that's like May talk. I want to talk May. No, what I want to know now is, and this really sounds like the podcast we're going to have when we discuss our predictions for the season, which is probably upcoming. That's probably like Sox Pop 163 or something, but we're going to do a sneak preview of that. And I want to know, I'm going to start with Malachi. We're going to reverse the order here this time. I want to know, especially because I think of the four of us, Malachi, you were logically and smartly, I think using mostly logic that said this division was horrendous, by the way, spot on there. So the White Sox will just bubble a little bit to the top just based on the fact that it's a terrible division and a team like the Twins, you know, is going to rival the Sox to win a division. And the Twins are a bad team. So point being, you were maybe the most positive. So what was your, I mean, we're just discussing this preposterously in September 2023. We're talking about losing 100 games or whether they won't 99 or 100 losses. Clearly, none of us thought that at prediction time. Really, maybe going in, not that we tend to think this way as fans or as human beings, right? What's the worst case scenario? But in your mind, at the time of predicting going into the season, what really did you think was the worst possible outcome of this year? I'm going to guess a lot of folks would say maybe having like another 500 year, but really, what realistically did you think? Like you even said, almost everything bad this year did happen to get them pushing for 100 losses, but you probably didn't envision it. Was there something you had in mind that might be like the worst outcome of this season?
I think it was this. I mean, this does not, it is surprising in the sense that you never expect all things to go wrong. But even looking, this could have happened last year too, honestly. I mean, you go back to, it's been, you know, 2 or 3 years on this site now, and really going back to the second half of 2021, that 2021 offseason, you know, I've been up here with a few other folks basically screaming, they're not doing enough. The bottom could fall out on this team very, very easily. Pretty much everything I said, I think, you know, one of the things I said before the 2022 season was that, you know, they're projected for 95 wins or something like that. But, you know, but with the way the roster constructed, they could be a lot closer to 80 or 75 than we would ever imagine. That ended up being, you know, close to reality. And I don't think there was a single sane person who came into this season thinking that they had in any way, shape or form a better roster than last year. I mean, the bounce back that they tried to sell us on was nothing. It wasn't a pipe dream, at least in 2022, coming off of a division championship. You could envision a world where, you know, some of these performances happened and they still won 90 games again. You didn't have that at all coming into this year. And while I am surprised that quite as many things went wrong as they did. You know, I did not expect Dylan Cease to be a number one pitcher again this year. I did not expect him to be this bad either. Yeah. I did not expect Eloy Jimenez to suddenly not be able to put the ball in the air. You know, I did not expect Yoan Moncada to wait 4.5 months before he finally started to get rolling. Mm-hmm. But I would be lying if I said that I was not very well aware that this was a possibility, maybe not a distinct one, but this was not something that should have been unfathomable.
Okay. Anyway. So doubling back right to you and to challenge you, because Lord knows that's what I'm about. I'm about being a controversial, angry, podcast host. So you said, none of us, and I agree, would have thought this team was better than last year, 82-81 win team. You had them, I want to say, 90-91. So that is just a factor of this division being just so vulnerable that though, you know, basically the whole division is getting worse, so the Sox have that shot. That was the thinking?
Well, the thinking was that the variance in this team was really, really high, because just as much as there was the division is a big factor too, obviously, but just like I just said, you know, none of the things, you know, Tim Anderson had a bad second half last year. Andrew Vaughn hadn't shown too many flashes and anything else other than flashes. You know, Yasmani Grandal looked very washed last year. Yeah. We know Yoan Moncada can't stay healthy. So none of the things that I just mentioned were particularly unfathomable. And at the same time, I don't think it would have been terribly surprising if you know, Yoan Moncada had a good year and played like he had the last month and a half, because he still clearly does have it to some extent, you know. Mm-hmm. Tim Anderson had a tough second half last year, but he was also probably, you know, one of the best hitters on the team overall in the first half last year. The criticism that I had relative to the rest of the fan base, I think, was that this was a really high variance team, and we were way underselling the low end of that variance. We were way underestimating. We were talking
literally.
We were talking as if there was an 80% chance that everything would go right and a 20% chance that everything would go wrong, as opposed to a, you know, relatively even shot. So I still, and when it comes to preseason projections for the White Sox, you know,
yes,
I don't like bragging about being right when they lose 100 win, when they lose 100 games. Yes. You know, at the end of the day, I don't really want to be that guy.
Right. So, and I remember that coming up, like Brian, who also had him in the 90s, a win. And I think some of the mentality was just, if I'm predicting, I'm going to go a little, I want the team to get into the 90 wins. So, yeah, okay, that's going to be, especially with you saying very clearly, it could be 62, it could be 92. I'd rather be 92. All right, let's pick 92.
Yes. Obviously, I was a lot more optimistic. You know, I would be lying if I said, like, I'm not going to say I didn't genuinely believe they had a chance. I thought they genuinely could have done 92 wins and it wouldn't have been insane. I didn't really expect it. But it's, you know, that's again, what's so infuriating about him is that you look at the other teams around the league that are this bad, you know, the Rockies and the Royals and the A's, they don't have a player who's as good as Luis Robert. They don't have a pitcher who's as good when he's on as Dylan Cease, you know. They didn't have a pitcher as solid as Lucas. Like, they didn't have those guys. They didn't have a starting shortstop in the All-Star game, you know. The baseline level of talent is still, like, frustratingly high. It's the same story we've seen for 25 years, but I think that's the MO, though. That's been their MO since 2005. Build really high variance teams and hope it strikes gold. And yeah, so you can pick on the high side every year. I probably will, unless I'm getting, like, paid for, you know, my serious objective, serious man opinion, you know. But that's kind of the nature of the teams that Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn built.
Suffice to say, and confidential to all of you, dear readers, listeners, viewers, none of us here get paid enough to have a serious take on the White Sox. So please feel free, next year as we go in it, as everybody swings and goes way under, to still stick positive. Now, next year's positive, Malachi will probably be like, yeah, there'll be 500. But yes, expect a real huge shift next year's predictions. But that's podcast like 670, so we're going to get there. I'm the hot seat now. Perhaps with even a briefer answer than I challenged Malachi to there. Apologies there. Didn't want to make you sweat. But Melissa, all right. Again, famously glass half empty. So clearly you probably actually did envision how horrific things could turn. But did you? And what was it? And was it this?
I don't remember how many wins I picked. I'm going to have to refresh my memory. But I mean, I definitely I was riding the White Sox hope train, like that we always ride, right? You hope that the injuries are, I mean, my gosh, it can't be any worse than it was before with all the, you know, people falling left and right. And just the nature of being a fan, like it's at the beginning. And then I made the mistake of going to spring training and I just got sucked into like all the verbiage. And so
I remember a pitching MVP. That's all I'm going to say. I remember a pitching MVP.
I remember. Oh my! One thing I do remember is that I picked Michael Kopech.
Sorry, I had to bring it up.
Yeah, good. Yeah, he was going to be our Cy Young candidate. Woo! I was wrong on that one big time. But I was just like, he has to get better, right? Mm-hmm. Like he has to get better. And so yeah, I traditionally do tend to like look at the negative side of things when it comes to like the beginnings. I'm not jaded yet. Like I forget all of my 50 years of misery for some reason. And I get excited because spring's anew. And if you can't, if you can't somehow find hope, then, you know, why are we even here? So.
Good question. Again, another pocket schedule. that's free. That's free to you, White Sox. White Sox 2024. Why are we even here? Melissa's like, I was not alive for 105 losses. It's never going to happen. So forget it. It can't, you know, how bad can it be? I don't blame you. Okay, Ryan, give me your take on what you thought worst case could be. And was it anything like this? Malachi has acknowledged it probably was this. Melissa said, no way. Kopech Cy Young. Ryan, where do you fall?
I've got to look back. Like, I predicted 78 and 84 because I watched Rickon twiddle his thumbs all winter and not improve the roster. And I read a lot of people saying that, oh, there's going to be a post-Tony Russo bump. That having anybody but Tony La Russa in that locker room is gonna you know, fire him up. I think I dropped $100 to go to opening day the day of, and dear God, that was a mistake. I think I had like 78 and 84. I probably figured like low 90s losses was the potential, like there is still talent on the roster. I didn't expect, like, coming in, watching them do nothing. I didn't expect them to completely crater like this. I knew something like this was possible, but I didn't think we'd be on the precipice of 100 losses.
Yeah.
Like, that seemed way out of the realm of possibility, even with, like, the diminished level of talent, the talent that has diminished. And, like, it somehow got worse.
Yeah.
And like forgot how to play baseball and just stopped caring.
Yeah. This is why go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm saying like, and now we're talking about 98 losses, predicting 100, and nobody saw that.
And don't look behind the curtain for next year because me and Ryan got a surprise for you. Well, this is why we pay Malachi the big bucks to anticipate these variances, because I, like you, Ryan, I probably would have said about the same, like rather than 92 win, which I guess I could have conceived as being the upside of this team. Maybe I'd even see that variance. I definitely would have seen maybe at worst, the 90, like the low 90s loss. Like if everything goes wrong, somebody dies or there's a strike or whatever is going on. No fans show up, new pandemic, whatever it was going to be. I don't think I would have ever anticipated. I don't even think that's because I'm like a Sunny fan who drops a hundo for opening day or who, gets all, excited about
it. I wanted to believe after the Houston series, like, okay, maybe they actually have something here.
Right.
You know, we escaped Houston 500 and actually looked decent in two of the games. Let's go for it. San Francisco wasn't some big hot team. And Michael Kopech gave up, what, 7 homers on opening day? I barely remember it because I was drinking a lot just to like come the thing. It was a worse roster coming in. And so I expected a step back, but damn.
Okay, hot seat. Let's put Ryan on the microscope for that drinking. Now, did at least some of it start out as happy drinking? And then clearly it became not happy drinking. But well, did it even start as happy drinking?
It started as happy drinking because I had just come on board here and I went to the tailgate and I met a bunch of people that I knew online and I had a jolly old time. And then we got to our seats and like before we knew it, it was like 5-0. And
I'm like, well,
I'm just like, well, I mean, I'm going to go to the stand again and get myself another drink because I'm burning money. Anyway. I might as well have a good time somehow.
I'll just strike up a chat with the concessionaire because I don't want to have to look at home plate or the scoreboard.
I went and found Jackie and Allie that were like, you know, Kendra was behind me and went and hung out with them because like my seats up front where I was all lonely and being like, I'm sitting here miserable, like drinking alone. I might as well go join some friends or something.
The opening day buzz burns off, but then kicks up as well. All right, I guess let's wind this up. I don't know. These aren't really speed rounds. And obviously, clearly, no agenda aside from giving you some stats at the top of the podcast. What, am I a host or something? Forget it. But let's dig deep for this one. I'm going to start with Melissa. So she's really on the hot seat because I don't even know if there's an answer for this. What is something? I won't even say the most positive. But I would just ask for something positive, but it could be the most, because there's probably like one thing. I don't even know what it is. So there's probably not a big list for you, Melissa, but is there something positive from this season you've taken away? And I can anticipate one type of answer and it's going to be sweet and I can't wait to hear it, but I'm going to also ask at least for something between the lines, between the chalk, on the field, or related to on the field, that was positive. What do you got for me? You can say nothing because I think that's a fair answer, but was there anything?
So I will say that Andrew Vaughn is kind of starting to win me over a little bit. Wow. So I can see the potential there. So I've really liked what I've seen like since the All-Star break from him. And so maybe that truly getting him in his position, having him there for a year, maybe next year he just hit 80 RBIs today. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, that's not terrible. I mean, he's a hell of a lot better than Jose Abreu is this year. I'd say that much. So I feel like I might be a little bit of an Andrew Vaughn fan and kind of really pulling for him. And I think there's some potential there. So
the Nike Adidas, I don't know what your contract is. I don't know if the White Sox have a contract. I don't look at people's shoes unless they're cool and colorful. Well, whoever you wear, Andrew, get them to put some lifts in those spikes. It's going to make you a better defensive first baseman. You shouldn't be as tall as me and play first base. I'm sorry.
He's not negative though in defensive run saved. Like that's a plus.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody else on the team pretty much.
Hey, I'm persuadable. It was just a suggestion. You mean you just have to wear them? He'll say, "Oh, they don't fit right. They make my head look too small." You know, whatever. Okay. All right, Malachi, Mr. Variance, give me make up a positive variance about this team. I mean, I think there's one obvious one that Melissa didn't mention, and then of course there's all the off-field stuff about different buzzes we got at different games or something. But give me something maybe having to do somewhat with the roster that was positive in your mind, if there was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll go deep cut and leave the leave the obvious one to two of y'all. And I've been, we got an animal party in here. Let's go.
And nobody's barking.
And this is the smallest really of silver linings. But the fact that Andrew Benintendi's power started to come back to him a tiny bit the last month and a half or so of the season, he started lifting the ball more, hitting it a little bit harder. He put out 4 or 5 homers, which look, I'm still, you know, not really worth the contract, not the biggest fan. But we knew this is why it was so, you know, dumb at the time is he's coming off a pretty serious wrist injury last year. One that historically speaking, we know pretty concretely tends to sap a hitter's power for at least a year or two. It takes a while for that to come back. So it does give me a little bit of hope that, you know, at the end, I mean, you know, he was a fine singles hitter. You don't pay $80 million bucks for a singles hitter. it does give me a little bit of hope that maybe next year some of that doubles and a little bit of over the fence power might come back and we might actually get ourselves a slightly above average outfielder.
Okay. And because we never actually want to talk about the White Sox on these podcasts, I'm going to acknowledge the presence of, I believe it's Fred Sage Bohlenbach, I think, who I don't think we've actually gotten to know the name yet of the Malachi pet. Who's that there?
This is Silver.
Mm-hmm. All right. So yeah, I think I've heard Silver's name before, so I could be wrong, making the rounds. And it was a dine and dash with Ryan, but they had their pet there briefly. I don't know if it has a name beyond character name, but yes, I think we do have our picture for this particular podcast post. I'm sorry, I don't, I can't be the fourth here, but okay, Ryan, we're looking for something positive.
Something positive outside the obvious of like Luis Robert.
Well, I mean, it's there for you to take. You can slide right in there. It's there for you to take.
I'm taking that because I'm like bottom of the barrel trying to find something else and nothing comes to mind. Like we got 100 games of Luis Robert and he almost hit 40 homers and looked like the legitimate star. Like at certain points, he looked like that legitimate superstar that you want to build your team around. I mean, he stayed mostly healthy for a change. The wrist injury or the knee injury. It's a knee this time. Mm-hmm. Like it's not encouraging, like an MCL sprain. But you know, if it's not a tear, we're probably okay. Yeah. But that's the best I could come up with because there are so many negatives with this team that it's hard to really find something like. Even Andrew Vaughn looking better, like, okay, yay, our first round pick, yay, our $75 million man is actually looking like, you know, somebody worth having.
Hey, we're trying, Ryan, we're trying.
Hey, I know, no, like, no argument for me. Those are both good picks, but, like, we're scraping if that's the best we can come up with. The obvious one.
This was not an easy question. You thought this was going to be some cakewalk podcast. They never are. We were supposed to be laughing. We're supposed to be happy. This is baseball. It's serious. It's sports, right?
We laugh to numb the pain.
Yeah. Well, no pets. This is serious. Well, okay. I'll suggest but another, I suppose, obvious one and hat tip to, I know at least Adrian, I want to say a couple others went against the Oscar Colas, jumped off the Oscar, maybe thought Oscar Colas was going to be pretty good too, but said that Gregory Santos would be the top rookie in the White Sox. I think he's proven to be because are there even others? Are there any other positive players on the team?
Corey Lehigh, baby.
It breaks my heart. You know, I was just thinking the other day when I was looking at his war or something about he was in the Cold Cats poll again or something. And the first thing I thought back to was the podcast we did where we got the news of the trade. And oh no, I guess this was Quero. So okay, never mind. Yeah, but I was thinking it was Corey Lee. I was thinking at the time you were like, hey man, that's actually a pretty good, you know, return given it's a rental, etc. And I thought, oh my God, how quickly is that fallen? Okay, for Kendall Graveman, yeah, who cares? Yeah, Corey Lee. All right, well, accepting Corey Lee, no offense, Corey.
I'm wrong about many things. You'll have your chance, don't worry.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, get in line. But Gregory Santos, listen, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who probably was, that really did probably hit his top percentile for best expectations. I mean, even Luis Rivera is, you know, still got a little banged up, going to even fall short of 5-war, though. Boy, that's really seeming to jump on a guy, given that he... I have to mention, I don't know why I didn't. I mentioned in the comments today, and I think I mentioned it in our Slack. The White Sox right now, barring a huge, huge final weekend, they certainly didn't put up incredible offensive numbers in the win today as we're recording, have zero. What was it? What was the number I did? They have their least offensive war they've had in their history as a team.
I think you said they had 1.0 war offensively.
Yeah.
And I included a tweet. I'm not sure it was entirely accurate. I didn't check it. somebody said that the White Sox starting lineup today had a negative three WAR.
Yeah.
Cumulatively, like of their starting lineup today. So yeah.
1.0 WAR in 2023. And that is really almost twice as bad as even the second place. That's 2013, 1.7 WAR. It seems sort of, you know, silly to say, geez, Luis, you didn't get the five WAR.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go.
No, go ahead.
That's what I mean. Like, do you know how hard it is to put together a fucking replacement level roster when you have a guy who's going to finish top five in MVP voting?
Yes.
Like, that's actually like impressively difficult. You know, that's what I mean with the repetitive thing is that like there are too many of these guys who are not replacement level players at their core for that.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a time early in the season, I think when I did the first race at the bottom, I wanted to see what the lowest WAR, the lowest leading WAR for a White Sox team ever was. And I don't remember what I came up with, because I wanted to see what, you know, what you were getting at, Malachi, and that is just how dominant has it ever been in the past? I want to say there was a season where like Luke Appling had a 3.4 WAR and that led the team. I don't know if I'll have to look to see if that actually stands as like the lowest team leading WAR in White Sox history. It might be. But the fact that, you know, so I mean, certainly not picking on Luis for not getting to five WAR at all. He's our rare bright spot. But the fact that Gregory Santos really did sort of hit his almost 100th percentile outcome, you could argue, is something that's, you know, now that Ryan took Luis Robert, I'll take Gregory Santos. That's something positive. But really, let's face it. What's the positive we're ignoring this room? It would be all the front office firings, except for the fact that they immediately offset that with their front office hiring. So that can't even really be a positive. I guess we could all point to that 45 minutes when Han was gone and we hadn't learned about Dayton Moore possibly joining the team, or that Chris Getz will just be given the job.
That wonderful, blissful 45-minute window.
Yeah,
the news coming down of Han being fired, and good old Bob Nightingale floating out there that Chris Getz is the leading internal contender, which might as well have been a tweet that he'd been hired. It was a foregone conclusion.
And you missed it, Brett. Like, you weren't even here. You didn't even get to celebrate with us. Yeah. We were all excited.
I was blissfully ignorant. I had zero clue until I got back. I wasn't checking anything. I had no idea. Yeah, and that was pretty surprising because we talked about this. Are these guys ever going to go? Are they going to get canned? How's it ever going to happen? And I think pretty much to one, we all said no. I think Tommy was somebody who was like, oh yeah, you know, they're going to do a big teardown or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, there were a few outlier answers, and I was probably pretty aggressive and negative about the team, but yeah, I didn't necessarily think it was going to happen. And I think towards the end of the season, by the second half, I think I actually said Rick Hahn was sounding like a guy who was, I think I said he was going to resign, but I mean, you know, gone, sort of like partial points maybe. Boy, I missed it.
He tried.
Oh, well, wait till next decade, Brett. Maybe you'll get to enjoy the sole highlight of White Sox baseball. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This has been so very nice to have you. Again, what is wrong with you listeners and readers and viewers? What are you doing paying attention to a White Sox podcast at this time in history? Well, we're happy you're here. We're happy you're with us. We're happy you're listening. Actually, we're going to have more. We are going to have a podcast after the finale. We'll be celebrating only 98 losses or celebrating 101 loss, or whatever it's going to be, pick your celebration. We're probably going to be celebrating no matter what, because guess what? The season is over. That is going to be worthy of celebration. Cue the buzz for Ryan for sure. Yes, we are going to get our way through it. We will have a podcast on Sunday live or instantly up or post-game podcast, whatever we're calling it. You know, normally the idea for post-game podcast started as post no hitters. Post-playoff? Well, now we really got to scrape. It's just season's over. Next year, we'll probably have a post-game one for when the White Sox lose 20-1 against Houston or something.
Celebrating 100 losses.
Yes! It is coming. Not yet. And the White Sox still do actually have to lose this last series to get to 100. We'll see how much want to they have. They have impressed us all year with their willingness to scrape the bottom of the American League in baseball and just pure reality. So, if you just had to guess, you'd say we are going to be celebrating somehow triple digit losses on Sunday. We'll be doing that. We got some history stuff coming up. We got our predictions post, whatever, shame, hall of shame podcast. We have a lot of stuff in the off season. Again, that's going to be like the fun stuff, because this season certainly wasn't, but we were certainly proud and happy to have so many of you with us listening and watching and reading. Don't blame me for this being trying. I'm glad you don't have any great, easy options to turn to, like, I don't know, Chicago Bears or something, or like politics or anything. So, you know, with the state of the world, stick with us in the White Sox. At least you got a family and friends who love you and appreciate you and can suffer with you. All right. Pour one out for the White Sox at 100 losses. It's coming. We'll see all of you on Sunday. Thank you, Malachi. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Ryan, for being with me. Three of our vets and coverage, all with losing records this year. Oh, hey, who in the room doesn't? Who in the room is not going to have a losing record this year? You think I don't fix this stuff? The host and the editor of the site gets to fix things. Over 500. Me and Jackie, talk about good vibes right here. I cover the games. The White Sox win. We'll see what happens, because the true test is tonight, my last game covering. I could tie Jackie for a coverage record this year. I could have the most wins. Anyway, thanks for being with us. Thanks, Malachi, Melissa, Ryan. See you in a few days. We got another one coming at you, and you're definitely not ready for it, but we'll all celebrate. We'll all drink together. See you then.